Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show. Let's rock and roll.
What? We are officially back in sports with 12th man. Let me go ahead and mute some things over here because I hear a little bit of some echo here.
I'm hearing it too.
All right, we're getting everyone muted here. Let's get this party started. Officially, we are wrapping up the month of May, gentlemen. It's been a crazy time. We got NBA finals, we got some NFL rumblings, training camp, OTAs, things are happening, and baseball, of course, is always happening. But again, let's talk, let's chat. You know, obviously, we're wrapping the month. We're missing our guy, JQ. Hopefully, he is traveling well. Much prayers out to him and his dad. Obviously, we're always supporting Curtis and you and Gary and everything like that, too. But let's ready to talk some sports here. So on a Thursday night, I know the game's on the background, so I'm clearly thinking about the game here. If you hear some yelling back upstairs, that's Marcy just excited, too. So without further ado, let's kick off the show, if you will. And we always like to go around the horn and check in with the fellas. So, Rob, you get the dubious honor of being the first check-in, man. So how you feeling this evening, sir?
Feeling great, man. You know, just got back in from South Africa this morning, so – got my afternoon nap in and ready to do the show tonight.
This guy right here. Living the dream. Curtis, Gary, West Coasters, how y'all feeling this evening?
Hey, we're feeling good. Ready to get this show. You know, we saw the pictures that Rob sent out with that elephant chasing him down the road. That was cool. I was rooting on the elephant.
I tell you what, he was really upset that he had to move out of the way, too. Because you look at this picture, he's got one leg behind the other. He was nice and relaxed.
This guy right here.
What you didn't see was another one that really kind of sandwiched it.
Wow. Well, like I said, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to come back to that because I'm thinking like the elephant, there's some situations that that Rob, you know, you're in like his land, man, in his territory, man. You can't just come in just like Beauregard, man. That's not how you do things, man. You got to know where you are. You got to know your place, man. So, you know, obviously that's just respecting nature. So just saying that, you know. Like I was waiting for a response. Rob was taking all of that. He was like, okay, whatever. But no, on a serious note, no, it's the fact that you're traveling.
His land was off the road.
Man.
The road was mine. His land was off, man, he off the road.
he thought he owned the whole thing, man. But it was good stuff, too. But no, just on a serious note, it's awesome that you're able to make that travel, man. I'm sure there's some great pictures. And what a great experience, man. So we can't wait to get some more pictures if you have some more. And you know, something that we would like to put a check on our bucket list, too. So good times, and keep those pictures going for sure, man. So we appreciate you. Curtis,
yeah.
Gary.
Yeah.
That's
a great experience. Phenomenal experience going there. I tell you what, man, you can eat some really good meals for really inexpensive prices there. So it's a very inexpensive trip. I mean, you talking about some ribs. I mean, fine dining restaurants or a party of two for like $50 to $60, which is unheard of here in America. Some really good food too. Definitely a great experience. Definitely a country that still has, needs a lot of prayer and needs a lot of help and support. But definitely overall a tremendous experience for us. Yeah, yeah. Look forward
good
to going
stuff,
back.
Good stuff. Keep it up, man. The travel adventures, do they have asparagus over there overseas, man, for you or no?
I'm sure they do. I didn't eat any for a whole week, so I got to get back on, you know, I don't know how many, I haven't got on the scale yet. I'm afraid to see how many pounds I've gained from all
this
the good
guy.
Food we've eaten.
We'll call back in if something's wrong with the line, man. So if you're calling back in, call back in, Lou. We're getting like a little feedback of that. All right, Curtis Garrett, checking how you guys doing this evening.
Hey, we're doing good. Curtis, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm still here. And trying to support I want to say Golden State, they're going to win the whole thing in the NBA. They're a great team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, watching a little bit of tonight's game, watching a little bit of tonight's game, and when you start seeing, you know, Draymond Green getting involved like he does and playing, you know, those getting those tough, doing all the tough things that you need to have on your team, you know. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about it in the last couple of weeks on the podcast, you know, that's the type of player that, you know, teams need, is that guy that's willing to do anything and get up in the grill of those of the best player on that team. And, you know, even though you know, Luka's getting points and stuff on that, just making him work, not allowing him to do free flow everything, what a huge asset to have someone like that on your team.
Yeah.
We're loving it.
He's a Dennis Rodman for the Warriors. You know, he's that guy that does the dirty work. And you're right, every team needs a guy like that in order for you to be successful. You're absolutely right.
Good call. I agree. Looks like I was trying to save the Warriors talk to later on, because we were going to show you some love, but I guess if you want to jump a little bit in that, and it's interesting too, because if you're talking about the Mavericks, it looks like, you know, Luka Doncic, she's kind of he's very eerily reminding me of James Harden a little bit, because, you know, this is a great offensive player, and just, you know, he needs to step a little bit more defensively, or just, you know, his team needs him for that, you know, him just, you know, kind of complaining about a couple calls. And there's no doubt he's a great player, but just there's an extra level that you need to get to kind of elevate your team too. And not that Dallas is not a good team at this juncture, but just little things that he needs to probably do if he's going to be the guy. And then, like you talked about Gary Curtis too, regarding Golden State, it's crazy because, you know, they've been battle tested. You know, you look at Draymond and even though we hate sometimes his emotional intelligence, because sometimes he just knows how to go off and you got to contain him. But you can see just with him playing well, just how in sync that team is too. So, you know, Warriors have some decisions to make in the offseason. What's going to happen with Jordan Poole and you know, Andrew Wiggins, that amazing dunk. So, you know, but right now it's going to be an interesting series. And whoever the battle-tested attrition from the Eastern Conference, I don't know if they're going to be able to stand against the Warriors, as Curtis said earlier, because, you know, it just looks like they're just battling each other so much that whoever's left it may be a tough task, if you will. So that's my two cents, unless you want to talk about that, Rob, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I know we talked about this on last week. You know, Luka is, you know, we all picked the Warriors to win this series, and as great as Luka is, he doesn't have as much help around him as the Warriors have. Warriors has a complete team. And Luka does, as you mentioned, he has to grow in the defensive end. Not ready to put him in the James Harden category yet. He's still a lot younger in his career. Just, you know, Harden, you saw year after year, he just didn't do it in the playoffs. And Luka is putting up huge numbers in this playoffs this year. He's just not getting the support. he does have to show a little bit more leadership on the defensive end. And we know, I don't know if he'll ever be a great defensive player, but he at least has to show the effort on the defensive end. And I think
effort.
That's what it's going to take for him to help get a team over the hump. Obviously, Dallas needs to get at least another star on that team if they're going to have any hope to get into a championship. But you look at the guys, that Dallas Maverick team that you're watching, you're looking at that team that made it to the finals, it's a tremendous feat for Luka and that team. You got dudes that look like they should be playing in the 70s out there in the court.
Come on, man. Bring it back to
They had Porzingis, too. Porzingis was the guy. It was supposed to be the guy. He just been hurt. Yeah, but that was supposed to be
the
second star.
But
yeah.
Porzingis can do it.
He was the guy,
That's
man.
Why he's not there anymore. But anyway,
he was terrible.
So I'm not ready. Harden constantly didn't show up in the playoffs. Luka showed up in the playoffs. He just didn't have the supporting cast that he needs. So I'm not ready to put him in that category with James Harden. He just needs a little bit better supporting cast. And obviously, you just got to tip your hats to the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors just they have the championship pedigree, right? You know, when you talk about Steph Curry and Draymond Green, that big three has a championship. Now you add in an Andrew Wiggins and a Jordan Poole to the mix, and they got a pretty good depth on that ball club. Yeah, they're going to be tough out.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Celtics can give them a run. I don't think they can beat the Warriors, but the Celtics does have the length and defensive capability to make it in a series. They really do. It's just that it's going to be tough to overcome that championship pedigree that the Warriors have, though, and that's what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum just doesn't have yet. But as far as athleticism, they'll be able to match them with their athleticism and length for sure. It's just that the Warriors have the championship pedigree.
Well, what I didn't like with Luka is all the early comparisons to Larry Bird.
Ooh.
I didn't like that at all because I didn't think it was justified at all. Because Bird was the type that not only did he play defense, he was the smartest player. Most of the time he was the smartest player on the court. Even going against the Lakers at times, if you talk with some of the Laker greats, and he played defense, and he helped out, and he switched. You know, I was kind of a little frustrated with that. But he's played his ass off for his own game, his own abilities. But the Warriors are just too tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you got, Curtis? Anything on that?
Well, same thing. If I compare today's playing to the old ones, right. Golden State may be bad what they did on their little vacation from the final. They got bad. They made some good acquisitions and weakened. Is making a good impact on this thing.
So, you know, since we're talking about the Warriors right now, Steve Kerr.
Yes.
I don't know if he would get fined or anything for that. Or any, you know, his comments on, you know, these shootings and everything. But I love.
As long as he's not offending referees, he shouldn't get a fine for that.
Yeah. He shouldn't. I'm hoping that that's the case. But I think it's fantastic. I thought an incredible moment. That should be. That's the incredible moment, in my opinion, this year in sports, that press conference in that situation right there. That was phenomenal.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Gary. Way to bring that up, too. That was really good,
yeah,
too.
Definitely, I agree with you, too.
And it's interesting because, you know, we talk about the thread. You know, we and Marcy, we had watched The Last Dance, I think, like 2 weeks ago. We were kind of commenting on that. He's kind of like the last thread, like playing with Michael Jordan. So it's good to have, you know, again, he kind of knows those big moments and just, you know, probably some things he's probably telling his team right now, you know, the fact that, you know, hey, this is what we did whenever we were playing. So it's just interesting to hear that perspective. And then, like you said, Gary, you know, again, to kind of tie everything that's going down with, you know, gun violence and for him to kind of have that passionate speech, you know, it's always, you know, hats off to him and just, you know, keeping on top of mind for sure. So, you know, we'll talk to the other things because we don't want to get too political here. We're going to talk sports, if you will, but just a great moment again. So good stuff, you know, Gary kind of reminded us about that too. We did want to – I know we're going to talk about some mock draft a little bit later for the NBA because we appreciate Rob always doing that. But we are going to shift gears here. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with the Cowboys. And right now, this is for you, Curtis and Gary, your thoughts, because in this juncture, you know, obviously the Cowboys no longer have Amari Cooper, and it looks like CeeDee Lamb is going to be the guy. So what are your thoughts on CeeDee Lamb? What type of season do we expect? I mean, obviously we know that CeeDee Lamb has been saying all the right stuff. He's been pretty much talking about how it's like, you know, he's kind of ready. This is his opportunity to kind of step up. So what are your thoughts? Do you think it's a good situation for him? And what type of season do you think he will have in spite of having, you know, the spotlight on Amari Cooper? So go ahead, gentlemen.
Well, I'm very comfortable with it. Not to take anything away from what Amari Cooper did for us and how he played mm-hmm. for us and how mm-hmm. clutch he was, because he was. And I was disappointed that he was no longer with us. But at the same token, with salary caps and situations and stuff, they felt at that time, this is before the, you know, the Gregory thing going to Denver, at that time they had to make a decision, right? And at that point, they needed to make that decision. Mm-hmm. The tank or Amari Cooper? They chose defense over offense, knowing that in their back pocket, they've got CeeDee Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
I think CeeDee Lamb is going to be just fine. I think he's a hell of a talent.
Mm-hmm.
This is his time to shine. As we're, mm-hmm. you know, and the other topics we're talking about, combos, you know, quarterback, wide receiver, you know, running back combos. And I've been down, mm-hmm. Curtis and I both have been down on Zeke, but,
wow.
Our, brother that's not with us tonight has said, hey, don't get down on Zeke. You know, he's gonna be there. He was hurt all season, and I understand that. He was hurt all season. If he's not, I think in that top five, you're going to have Dak, Zeke, and CeeDee Lamb in that conversation for the top five in wide receiver, quarterback, running back combo. So I'm happy with that. Go ahead, Kurt.
Although I have heard some radio people, it's silly to win the conference, but I got a lot of, I think the Cowboys are going to have a best season in their conference, and there's going to be a conference where I will be close to having all their playoff games in Dallas on their home court. That's what I'm looking for the Cowboys to do this season.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Congratulations, Andre and Marcy. Look like the Warriors going to the NBA Finals. So congratulations. Much I hate to admit, congratulations. They got
don't
a great team.
What I tell you when you jump on this call, don't hate, appreciate. Do not hate,
I'm not
appreciate.
Hating, but I won't appreciate.
We may be doing this show in California in a couple of weeks, man. We'll talk to you soon, man. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have some fun, man.
Nice.
We're going to get some tickets. We're gonna fly out, man.
Y'all
that's
can get those tickets,
about,
man. Good. Cool V.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
But getting back to CeeDee Lamb,
I
fully expect him to have a big season for the Cowboys this year, too. I know Amari Cooper helps to keep some coverages away from him, but a lot of teams are probably going to roll more coverages and double teams toward him this year. But I think he will still have a successful season. You know, they're going to look for some other guys to step up, Michael Gallup, the tight end.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to look for some other guys to step up, but I fully expect CeeDee Lamb to have somewhere around 1,200 to 1,400 yards receiving this year, you know, somewhere in the 8 to 12 touchdown catches range somewhere this season. So, no, I fully expect him to have a really big season for the Cowboys this year. I think he'll be perfectly fine. I think they will lose Amari a little bit because,
mm-hmm.
he is going to see more double-team coverages this year, more coverages roll toward his way, but I still expect him to have a big season. As far as the top wide receiver, running back, quarterback combinations, I'm going to go to Cincinnati and the Bengals. Joe Burrow, Mixon at running back, Ja'Marr Chase and that wide receiver group that they have as well. So I'm going to put him at the number one spot up there. Number two, I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. Much as I hate to say it, Brady, Fournette, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I'll put the Buccaneers at the number two spot. The Chargers, I got them at the number three, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler. They just drafted Isaiah Spiller. They got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams at wide receiver. So I got the Chargers. Then I got the Cowboys at the number four spot with Dak, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb. Dak and CeeDee, that's the Louisiana connection. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, both from Louisiana. CeeDee from New Orleans and Dak Prescott from Franklin to Louisiana. And number five, surprisingly, I'm going to go to the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb, and newly acquired Amari Cooper. In Cleveland. So those are my five right there. There are some teams that have better offenses, so then when you look at it, you know, who's got the wide receiver, running back, you know, you could have put the Chiefs up here if you put in Travis Kelce, but he's technically a tight end.
Ooh.
You know, you could put Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Patrick Mahomes, but technically the tight end, they don't have the Tyreek Hill anymore. And then now Green Bay, you got Aaron Rodgers, and you got the running backs, but now who's the wide receiver? So you can't put Green Bay up there in this list anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's about what I had too, Rob. I think Cincinnati is clear number one with what they've got and how they've – and Burroughs is he's one of these young guns that's, it's going to be hard out of the AFC, but – they got as far as running back, wide receiver, quarterback combo. That's a phenomenal. I got the Chargers up there as well, but I think the Chargers in that division are going to have just a harder time with things.
Right.
The whole division is that's the toughest division in football, I think, this year.
We still got Arizona and RAM and Surface system.
On the NFC side, that's going to be battling it out. Seattle will take a nosedive.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too. I'm liking where Curtis is going because, you know, you talk about, you know, the Chiefs and the Chargers, so that's kind of like right now. But then whenever the Broncos added Russell Wilson, now that's definitely something that's pretty intriguing because, you know, the Broncos have always had a pretty stout defense. They've had a lot of talent. All they needed was a quarterback. You know, Drew Locke wasn't able to do anything, and so you add a dynamic talent of Russell Wilson, so that's a key piece. So like, now you're looking at the AFC West, and you're like, okay, you're still liking, you know, the Chiefs, but, you know, hey, look at what, you know, the Chargers are up-and-coming team. And then, like we talked about, you added, you know, what's going on with the Broncos. And then, you know, obviously we're still thinking that the Raiders are going to be kind of like bringing them up the rear, even though, you know, they, if you turn the news, they worked out Colin Kaepernick. Josh McDaniels is pretty mum about that. But, you know, in this instance, you know, he's trying to do a reclamation project with the Raiders, and I always shout out to JQ how you know how he loves to hate on Derek Carr, so they're going to be in the box, if you will. So JQ's always about quarterbacks, right? So he's like, there's no way, man, that's the dude, man. Go ahead, Gary, what are you about to say, sir?
Well, what I was going to say is that division's going to the AFC West is going to be like the NFC West was this year, where you've got to wait until the last game of the season, probably to where you're going to have to figure out at that point. This is my prediction. That's when you're going to figure out who's won the division and who's made the playoffs and in what order. Because I think there's going to be a couple of teams coming out of that division at least.
That's true. That's true.
I think the AFC West is going to have three teams in the playoffs. I think the Chargers and the Broncos are going to be in the playoffs. I think the Raiders will be the only team in that division that don't make the playoffs. Let me tell you something.
That's crazy.
Charger team on paper looks to be as talented as anybody. When you talk about Justin Herbert, when you talk Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa on the defensive line, and Derwin James in the backfield, defensively and offensively, they look scary. And as good as Patrick Mahomes is, it's a part of me that thinks the Chargers really can win that division. When you look at their roster, and then when you look at the wide receiver, you got Keenan Allen, you got Mike Williams, you add Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M, so you got a 1-2 punch of running back now with Austin Eckler and Isaiah Spiller. They both can catch the ball out of the backfield. Isaiah Spiller can fly, too. So that was a sneaky good pick in the third round for the Chargers, too. I need some more time to think about it, but it's a toss-up for me right now between the Chiefs and the Chargers on who win that division. I think the Chargers have a shot to really win that division this year. I really do.
Well, of those three teams, you know, the teams you mentioned, and I would also throw Denver in there. Now you got a quarterback that is a clutch quarterback that makes big plays. That can, you know, can make that last drive, get you down the field, get that field. You know, that I wouldn't surprise me if any one of those top three teams in that division actually won the division. Because they're just they're loaded, and I kind of feel sorry for the Raiders because the Raiders made good moves too, but just not.
Yeah.
You know, if they were in another division, they would be a playoff team.
Well, they made the playoff last.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, again, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, that's the only thing for the Raiders is. When you look at the quarterbacks in a division, I think that's the only thing that sets them apart is the quarterback, you know. Now, Josh McDaniels is one of the better offensive minds in the league, so we'll see what kind of coaching he can do with that team and what he can do with Derek Carr. I think the Raiders could be one of those teams that missed the playoffs with a winning record. They could be 9-8 and 10-7 and still mix the playoffs in a loaded AFC this year.
That's crazy.
I mean, and I only have Denver in there, just as Gary just mentioned, because of Russell Wilson. I think they get in with like an 11-6 and 10-7 record, but I think they're a notch below the Chargers and the Chiefs. I think the Chargers and the Chiefs will be the top two teams that'll be battling for that division. I think the Chiefs got better on defense too, which they needed to be. They still have Mahomes, still have Kelsey, they still got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They may need to get some more depth at running back. Darrell Williams is a free agent right now. He was a good change of pace behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll see what happens there. You know, he may sign with the Chiefs. I know the Saints are also recruiting him as well. We'll see what happens, from that standpoint.
And the Raiders also, like you said, Gary, getting some talent. Curtis, they're talking about, getting Davante Adams is a huge, huge uptick in talent for the wide receiver position. But like you said, it's just you're not sure what's going to happen with, Derek Carr, if he can make things happen. So that's kind of the question mark for sure. But, but they could have, they got some talent. But, again, and Darren Waller's, great talent too. So, a little addition by subtraction here. Let's kind of talk about a little bit about the Bills and the Dolphins, and I think we're going to start with the Bills because kind of the predictions, if you will, projections, because right now, we talk about that amazing AFC championship game between the Bills and the Chiefs, and, obviously we didn't want that game to end. We know that Josh Allen is definitely second coming, and the Bills, we talk about them getting strengthened, as far as the draft too. Excuse me. So, Rob, we'll kind of talk about that because if you're Buffalo, you're pretty much thinking Super Bowl or bust, excuse me. There's a couple of obstacles in your way, as we know, but the AFC division is loaded. This is a very exciting time. But do you think the Bills did enough to kind of again, take that next step, if you will?
They're my team to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC right now. I think they're ready to take the next step. They got Stephon Diggs. They got Josh Allen at the quarterback position. They've gotten better. They continue to get better on defense. Tre'Davious White, they lost him last year, their best cornerback, but they got some more help in the secondary. Tre'Davious White may not be available in the beginning of the season, but I think by midseason he should be back, and I think they got him enough help to get by without him early in the season, and then when they get him back midseason. They got Von Miller from the Rams. So they got better on defense. They got better on the offensive line. They got more weapons around Josh Allen. And right now they're my pick to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I didn't have the guts to pick them over the Chiefs the last few years, and I guess it was a good thing because they didn't get past the Chiefs the last couple of years. I do think this could be the year to get past and win the AFC. The Dolphins, I think the Dolphins finished second place in this division, even over the Patriots. I think the Patriots still got some question marks offensively. And the Patriots really faded toward the end of the season last year. Right now, they don't even have an offensive coordinator. So they don't even know who's going to be calling plays right now, and they already know TAs. So I got some questions about the Patriots. I think the Patriots finished third. I think the Patriots just missed the playoffs. I think it could be like the Raiders, a team that may end with a 9-8, 10-7 record and still miss the playoffs. But I like that when you look at the Dolphins roster, you look the way they ascended toward the end of the year last year. You saw Tua getting better. Now you got Tyreek Hill. You added a lot of weapons. You got more depth at the running back position. You got Teron Olmstead from the Saints on the play left tackle. Now, he is going to be keeping Teron Olmstead healthy because he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last couple of years, but if he does, you got yourself a left tackle, and they already got a tremendous defense. So I like this Dolphins team. I think they finished second in the division. I think they make the playoffs, but I still like the Bills winning the division and like the Bills getting to the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
I don't have much faith in the quarterback of Miami. But I gave much faith. I'm not an expert, but boy, these guys—they
prove something.
They show for awesome for Miami to have a chance. And Miami, you know, kind of pissed me off.
Me too.
Fiery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Likewise.
I agree. Yeah. That, yeah. It's kind of hard to listen to, for sure.
Fiery.
No.
Yeah.
I do think Bills are ready to it's going to be tough for any of the teams to come out of the AFC because there's so many of them that are really tough.
A lot of contenders,
and it's going to come down to really probably who's the healthiest. If you look at right now, I would say the Bills would have to be probably an early favorite to come out of the AFC. I agree with Rob on that. But I think it's what it's going to boil down to is who's the healthiest, who keeps their team together, and if the, and if several of the teams are coming in fairly healthy, which every team has injuries, but, you know, their big guns stay fully healthy, then it's just going to come down to who gets hot. Josh Allen is one of those quarterbacks that he's a playmaker. He's definitely a playmaker. That's why he's my early on pick right now for the to represent the AFC.
So we talk about staying healthy, gentlemen, and I don't know if you know this, but who's the backup quarterback for the Bills? Do you know if something happens to Josh Allen? Who's the backup quarterback? Matt Barkley. You should be very afraid.
But, you know, Andre, that's a good point. Gary just made a good point. It all comes down to which team stay healthy, right?
You could probably go through
most of your contenders and be like, who are the backup quarterbacks when they get in trouble? I mean, look at the Chiefs. You pull up their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You feel confident?
That's true. Case
Chargers.
Case
you pull up their backup
too.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
You feel confident? Yeah.
That's true too. That's true
the
too.
Cowboys.
But I'm just saying,
the Cowboys gonna go to playoff if Dak goes down.
Poor Gary. Poor Curtis.
And I'm not wishing that.
It wasn't a knock.
And I'm not saying.
Yeah. Neither
I'm not saying that to wish
Neither
it on anybody. But I'm just making the point.
We agree with your point. You know, and there's some good quarterbacks, and that brings me up with. Brings up an interesting question. You know, the Raiders, who did they – they went and they had a tryout with Kaepernick. I would bring in somebody like that, or I'd bring in somebody like Cam Newton for the Cowboys I'm talking about specifically. Just because as a backup to
y'all know who the Raiders' backup quarterbacks are right now?
What's that?
Garrett Gilbert and Nick Mullen.
Oh.
If you wonder why Colin Kaepernick is getting a workout for the Raiders, their backup quarterbacks are Garrett Gilbert and Nick Mullen. So if you're wondering why he's getting
Baker
the back.
I got you.
I mean, there are very few teams in the league that you could say, hey, if the backup comes in.
That's true.
And, you know, I mean, we saw 2 years ago with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. They struggled when they went out. Even last year, the Saints, we were 5-2 when James Winston got hurt. And we finished 9-8, still finished the season with a winning record barely. But, you know, you lose your starting quarterback, you're just not going to be the same team.
No, we get it. We get you. I'm looking it up right now because I think for the backup quarterback, I think it's Shane – was it Shane Buck – but was it Buck Shea or something like that? There's one guy. I'm looking it up. Dusty Kroom, something crazy. Yeah. If you're the Chiefs, you better hope nothing happens to Patrick Mahomes, but I do really want to quickly get back to the Dolphins, and Curtis did actually say that correctly. Not that I'm a fan of what's happening with the Dolphins, and it's interesting, right, because You know, they obviously made the big move with Tyreek Hill. They picked up the ex-Cowboys receiver, Cedric Wilson, if you will. So you're kind of looking at them. They get, you know, Mike McDaniel, who came from that Kyle Shanahan kind of tree. So I am curious to see what happens with that squad, because are they going to, if you will, kind of be more run dominant to kind of protect Tua? Because right now it looks like Tua has, you know, he's got a lot of weapons, so he's not going to have an excuse. And this is, you know, this is his time to kind of really shine. So again, it's kind of a tough situation, you know, kind of, you know, that was my team when I was a kid, but I just don't like how they handled Brian Flores. Didn't like that at all. So you're not kind of rooting for them, but, obviously being a fan, you're going to keep track of what's been happening for sure too. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Let me see who's calling in right now. Hola. Welcome to Talk of Sports, the 12th man. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, man, sometimes greatness, you know what I'm saying, it just happens.
Oh,
you don't practice. It just happens.
In the building.
Old friend of the show, welcome back.
In the building. What's going on, sir?
Not much, man. I just found out today, Coors Light wants you to make those beers so cold so you understand how nasty it is. So, yes, sir, you have to get the Blue Mountain before you try and drink Coors Light. I learned a very valuable lesson today. But, yeah, what's up, y'all?
Hey, man. We're always learning, Nod. That's what it's all about. I had to find out what your number, man, but it's good to hear your voice. Man, we were just literally just recapping some division projections for a couple teams for the AFC. We're talking about how loaded that couple of those squads are. We were kind of talking about the Bills and the Dolphins right now. We're going to – and just kind of briefly talk about, you know, the Raiders and Colin Kaepernick. But that's kind of where we are, if you want to kind of shed your thoughts on that. And then we're going to talk about some more stuff on the NBA too. But I don't know if you had any thoughts about the AFC and kind of the AFC West division, if you will.
I mean, I probably couldn't add anything to because you guys probably hit on everything, especially with the Chiefs, you know, them reloading. Ultimately, we knew this was coming. Once you pay Pat Mahomes that salary, you're going to have to make some decisions later on, which they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tyreek Hill. Hey, man, you got to go where the market's going. Receivers are getting paid. Man, I know he loves Pat Mahomes, but, yo, you better secure your bag, as the young folks say. As far as Cap, though, look, I think Cap would be a great pickup for the Raiders. The only question is, does Derek Carr want it? If Derek Carr doesn't want it, then you don't bring him on. But if Derek Carr is good with it, I think Cap is going to be a model NFL player. He can teach the young guys some things. He's going to be early to every meeting because he can't afford for any firestorm to happen against him, because that will turn into people saying, oh, he didn't really want to play, didn't want to do this and that. So I think it will be a great thing for the Raiders to have him out there. You sell a lot of jerseys, and, of course, he's not going to play. He would be the backup, probably third string even, if we're being realistic. But I think it will be a great public relations move. I think it will be great for the NFL family as far as players. Seeing this dude, you know, kind of unbowed, going out on his own terms, I think it would be a beautiful thing. But, again, this is the NFL. And starting quarterbacks, they don't want nobody behind them that makes them nervous. So that's the only question. If Derek Carr's doing it, I think they should do it.
Because I agree with you, Naj. This is Gary, West Coaster. Hey, you know, I agree with you on that for one reason. I would say Carr would not be interested in that, because as soon as he starts screwing up, the fans are going to be chanting, you know, bring in Kaepernick. And then what do you got?
Well,
that could be reversed.
So.
Competition to make it better.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to, you know, Josh McDaniels, you know, I saw him on the interview today, and they asked him about that situation if they do bring Colin Kaepernick, and he made it clear. He says David Carr knows that this is his thing. You know, the reason why they were able to get the Davante Adams is because of David Carr. And I think the Raiders knows that. So I think they know that his team. And, you know, I know we give Derek Carr a hard time, but if you really look at his stats last season, he had a really good year. Yeah. He had a really good year last year. Now, I still think he's probably the fourth best quarterback in that division going into the year. But, you know, I think the Raiders show confidence in Derek Carr. And it's his team. They don't get Davante Adams if Derek Carr is not there. They're college teammates. They're buddies from college. So I think they know that Derek Carr is their guy, and I think Derek Carr feels that way too. But when your backup quarterbacks are Nick Mullins and Garrett Gilbert, and they didn't get nobody in the draft, you got to go out and see what you can do from a backup quarterback standpoint. You know, I don't think they're going to trade Baker Mayfield to come in there and be a backup at that salary. And so, once again, you got to check your boxes. And I think from an organizational standpoint, I think Derek Carr has to understand that too. But I think Derek Carr and the team is fully aware that his team. But you can't go into the season and be a Super Bowl contender with Nick Mullins or Garrett Gilbert, who's basically Andre Peterson as your backup quarterback. And, so you're in trouble. You go into the season with that as your backup quarterback.
Hey man, yeah, I
wasn't saying that
Cap
would be a threat to him. I'm just saying his comfort level is important in this situation. Like, they're going to check his temperature on that. But no matter what, look, Cap would be the baby-kissingest, best Raider ambassador that you would ever have out there in Vegas. Like, dude, I don't think people fully understand, like, how big redemption stories work, because even the people who are against them get to pat themselves on the back and then act like they were always for what is good and what is just, similar to when you saw Ali after he couldn't speak anymore. All of the people who hated Ali's guts all of a sudden loved Ali. That's all that was. And of course, the direct comparison to Ali Cap, no, I'm not doing that. But you kind of get the way that this could play out really well for the Raiders with him as a backup. And, of course, you don't want him taking snaps because you want Derek Carr to be healthy all season.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, before we get to, I do want to talk about the mock draft for the NBA, Rob. Appreciate you. But I do have to touch base on what's happening with, and this is not on the topic, Rob, so hopefully this is okay. There's a big deal that happened with some NIL situations with Nick Saban, and he was kind of talking about Deion Sanders. And I think this is pretty interesting, right? Because, again, there's some love, hate for Nick Saban because, again, it feels like Nick Saban was kind of picking on the little guy, if you will. And Deion Sanders has done a phenomenal job with bringing shining light on HBCUs. I was actually in Jackson, Mississippi a couple months ago, and just the excitement around what Deion Sanders
Sorry
is going
to
do
that.
Has just been phenomenal. You know, come on, man. It's not like I'm taking like a trip there, man, but it was like, yo. But I was just commenting, you know, again, he's taking the situation in. Just for him to bring, you know, a lot of light to the head coaches. You know, Eddie George is doing some coaching there. And just it's just exciting because, you know, him getting Travis Hunter, that number one, you know, recruit, and just it seems like Nick Saban's kind of crying about, you know, that and with Jimbo Fisher and what's happening. And you're like, come on, bro. You've been like the big brother taking advantage of this. And you know, we may not understand or like everything that's happening with all these NIL deals, but now the field is about to be level, if you will, too. So, you know, obviously you're still going to get through recruits if you're Alabama, but just it kind of looks like you're picking one system of the poor, like the big brother. Like, come on, man, get the hell out of here. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on that, man, because, again, it just kind of feels like right now it kind of – we always used to make the comparison, Rob, whenever back in the days all of the black, you know athletes are going through all these HBCUs. And, you know, Sam Bam Bam Cunningham, you know, again, for USC, just running up and down against Alabama. And then, you know, you can see, your boy is like at Alabama, like, man, I got to get me one of them, you know, back in the day. You know, so it just kind of shows you just, again, how, again, things are changing right now in the league. So I don't know if you guys, you know, wanted to talk about that. That was just Andre's little side note, too. And then we'll talk about the NBA mock draft, if you will, too. And then we'll wrap up the show because we have about 10 minutes left, if you will.
I thought that was classless by Nick Saban. I thought that was very classless by Nick Saban to make that accusation, or that's the reason why Jackson State was able to get that player. That player went to Jackson State because of Deion Sanders. It wasn't because he got paid off or anything like that. You know they're going to watch everything HBCU is doing, right? If they're going to get a
Correct.
Player like that. So you know they're going to watch it. So I thought it was very classless from Nick Saban. I don't like Nick Saban, so, I mean, I don't like Alabama. But, you know, I thought it was very classy. And I thought it was also not only the Deion Sanders situation in Jackson State, but I thought it was very classy with what he did with Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M, too,
sure.
In their recruiting class. And it turns out only one of those 11 players from Texas A&M got a NIL deal. And Nick Saban tried to make the accusation that 11 of them did, but only one of them actually did. And so I thought it was very classless. Nick Saban, you're getting top two, three, top five recruiting classes every year. I mean, you continue for national championship every year. I mean, everybody can't go to Alabama. Everybody don't want to go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You know, nobody want to go play in the country every year. I mean, come on. You know, you can't get everybody, Nick. Stop the whining and complaining. I want to use another word. Maybe one of y'all will use it for me. But stop the whining and complaining. I thought it was totally unprofessional. You're not going to get every player. You only got a certain number of players to go to Alabama. And I thought it was very unfair, all the comments he made about Jackson State and Deion Sanders, as well as not that I'm a fan of Texas A&M or anything, but I still think that was those were unfair comments made to Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M as well.
In the West, nobody can take the USC. They take them seriously the Stanford border and the coach that's from Oklahoma.
That hurts coming out.
Say that where USC it looks like the team has come out of here.
Well, what I would say about Nick Saban is he does. Rob was right. He gets the top. He's Alabama. If you look at the last 10 years, maybe one of the years they weren't of the 10, they weren't the number one recruiting school in the country. So for him to whine and complain, especially with the team, Jackson State that Deion Sanders is coaching and has done a fantastic job, and now they're getting a little attention, and some of these other teams are getting some attention. But for him to whine and complain, he's got this unreal budget. Just like I told you guys, I was talking with a guy when I was in Alabama, and his son, who Nick Saban wanted, he flew a helicopter down right onto their field. Had a suit, knew his sizes and everything. Said, "Come on, we're going out for dinner. I want you to come and play for us." Kid gets on, changes on the plane, and they go out to some fancy-ass dinner somewhere in the helicopter. I don't think Deion Sanders was able to do anything like that to bring a recruit. I think Deion Sanders just through normal channels got a guy that wanted to play for, a player and a coach of Deion Sanders' caliber. That's all that was.
Yep.
And Nick Saban's jealous of that. Just like Rob said, he plays in the damn championship every year. You know,
yeah.
To whine like that is just what a punk ass bitch.
Thank you, Gary. I'll
there it
somebody
is.
Somebody to say it for me.
Leave it to Gary.
Yeah.
That was for JQ.
JQ's coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Naj. Anything on that or no?
Oh man, you already know. Look,
we gotta add that comment that Gary made about Nick Saban to have a bloopers list every now and again.
Yeah, punk ass bitch. Go ahead, Naj. I love it.
No, dude, this is a beautiful thing. Like, dude, this is a beautiful thing. We're back to the petty wars, and I get to morally watch college football and not feel bad about it because the kids are actually getting paid. Bro, this is all good. I'm all for all of this. I want all of the messiness out in the street, people arguing and doing pressers. This reminds me of Spurrier. I love it. But as far as Nick, y'all got to understand something, man. Yeah. You know how people say when you're used to privilege, equity starts to look like oppression. Like, that's what you're seeing right here. The dude who has the biggest advantage every year now all of a sudden sees some of that advantage slipping away, and to him it feels like, oh, man, the game messed up. He used to play Madden on rookie. Now you got to play Madden on all Madden. Sorry, Nick Saban, that's just the way things go. But here's the part where I think people are missing, though, with Nick Saban. Great as he is as a coach and everything he's done at the University of Alabama, understand something real quick. You missed that playoff 3 years in a row as Nick Saban, guess what? They will run your ass out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, because that is what Alabama is. Nick sees that coming. He's getting scared, so now he's just firing off in all directions in a ridiculous way. This goes back to a couple years ago where him and Dabo were talking about calling people street hustlers and everything else, talking about people who were recruiting players. So, you know, this is just typical Nick hypocrisy, but I can see why the paranoia is setting in, because he understands, like, yo, I might be that guy, Alabama and all that, but Georgia's getting number one recruiting classes. Things are picking up, and if things go the other way, I won't get the swan song walking out the door like I thought I wanted. So I can see why he went that way. But, yeah, those are some raggedy comments from Nick. He's a sucker. I'm not surprised. This is what they do. And it's always interesting to me when people say something about, you know, this is a sharecropping system previously before NIL, and, you know, make all the allusions to that, you know, that institution, the original sin of America. People immediately get mad. Hey, don't say that. Don't make that comparison. But then when they start talking about players, they all say, well, they bought such and such. They bought. Well, why you keep saying they bought a player? Why not just say you got paid? When you go to your job, you don't say your employer bought you. What the hell is that? So that's anyway, true. Man, that's the hell with Nick Saban. I want to watch his downfall. It's going to be slow and beautiful. Can't wait. Go Dawgs.
I think he's got a little bit more leeway for that. I don't think they're going to, if he doesn't make it, I don't think they're going to run him out. He may have, you know, a couple of years before they run him out of town.
Go look at the end of Bear Bryant's career. I'm telling you, man, I don't think you understand how unrealistic college football fans and big donors and alums are about this thing we call college football, this thing of ours. Shout out to Goodfellas, Ray Liotta, RIP. But
absolutely.
Certain fan bases? I'm telling you, even the great St. Nick can get run out of town, baby.
I'm not saying he can't get run out of town. I'm just saying I think he has a little bit more equity, too. But like I said, yeah, winning, what have you done for me lately, is definitely key, if you will, man. So we understand the pressure. I was going to say this real quick before we get to the OT. Try to scare everyone. I remember I was driving in Alabama. I got pulled over, and the cop said, Alabama or Auburn? I said, Alabama. And he's like, have a nice day. That was the last time that Dre flew to Alabama. So there you go.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize our music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We're going to have a brief OT portion for you on this evening. You can catch the rest of the show by clicking on the same link starting tomorrow and through the weekend and into early next week. Next week, we're going to be on Thursday night again. We're going to be on Thursday night again, people, 11 p.m. Eastern. For our people on the East Coast watching the Boston and Miami series, looks like the heat is about to go out. We're going to be on at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And for Chicago, we're going to be on at 10 p.m. Albuquerque, 9 p.m. And those of you all in Oakland and San Francisco celebrating tonight, we're going to be on at 8 p.m. on the West Coast on next week. And once again, Thursday night and next week, people. Good night.
Good night, people. Filling in. Go Chargers. That's as JQ always says.
Purpose was going to say something.
There it is. Go ahead. Wrap it up.
Last year, called to Wayne, and the first game they're going to play this year is going to be Georgia. I find that fantastic.
Who they playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oregon's going to play Georgia?
Yeah.
Georgia
is going to come back to the new team to play the old Colts.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I think out the gate, you know, if you're Oregon, you got a lot to prove, obviously. You know, you guys got the new coaching staff that used to play at Georgia, or used to be the defensive coordinator for Georgia. I'm not sure how his recruiting is going right now, unless he's trying to recruit, you know, kind of like SEC style. So we'll see how that plays out. But Georgia, you know, they're going to be amped after just winning the national championship too. So they're going to just kind of retool. I know you mentioned earlier, Nodge, about the recruiting classes that Georgia's been coming up and Kirby Smart. You know, again, so it's just it's interesting. You know, right now everyone's gunning for Alabama, right? Jimbo gunning for Alabama. Clemson's got a little down here, gunning for Alabama. Talk about what's happening with the changes within the conferences. You know, Texas coming over. There's all these different situations that are happening. So, you know, obviously, yeah, maybe Nick Saban is scared, if you will. But I do think it does set the landscape of college football. You know, college players are finally getting paid for their name, image, likeness of NIL deals. And let's open it up, man. That's what it's all about, too. So, Rob, I need to have the last comment on that. We don't want to spend too much time in the OT. You could talk about the NBA mock draft that you posted. We appreciate you. And then we can kind of talk, you know, about any topic that you'd want. And we'll go ahead and wrap this show up, if you will. So go ahead, my friend.
I'll just cover the top 10 of our listeners out there. You can check out the rest of the mock draft on our Talking Sports in 12th page. I talk about our teams here, the Blazers, the Hawks, and my pals as well. But looking at the top 10, as I mentioned in previous shows, the top three, I think it's pretty clear. Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero. In no particular order, I got Chet Holmgren right now going number one, over 7 feet, his wingspan. I think he could be a young Anthony Davis with his size and length, the way he's already can score the basketball and the way he's an off-the-ball shot blocker as well. He's got to put some more weight on the frame, similar to what Anthony Davis had to do when he came out of college. But I got Chet Holmgren right now, number one to Orlando. Jabari Smith, power forward from Auburn, going
over
to
Jabari
City.
Smith, huh? You have Chet over Jabari Smith,
oh, yeah?
Huh? Really?
Chet Holmgren, man, has got the length, the shot block ability, scoring ability. Jabari Smith does have a sweet outside stroke. Only problem for Jabari Smith, you know, he went to Auburn. So, you know, that's not just kidding.
I know you were going to say that.
Jabari
Alabama,
Smith.
Auburn, we knew that was coming. Go ahead.
Hey, no, his dad went to LSU. He shouldn't have went to Harvard. But Jabari Smith at the number two spot, he's got a sweet stroke, really shoot the basketball for his 6'11 player. Paolo Banchero really needs to improve his outside shot, but he's got a nice game in the post. Got him going number three to Houston. Jaden Ivey, the guard from Purdue, I think he can play the one. He can play the two, very versatile. I got him going to Sacramento at number four. Keegan Murray, power forward from Iowa, another great shooter, 6'9", got long arms, can really shoot the basketball, led the Big Ten in scoring about 23, 24 points a game this past season. I got him going to Detroit at number five. Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky, he didn't play at all this past season. He's from Canada. He's shooting up draft boards. This guy is a tremendous athlete and can really handle the rock. Really young. I got him going to Indiana. Really intriguing prospect. I got Portland taking A.J. Griffin from Duke at number seven. 6'6 swingman. Also a guy who can really get to the rack. Really improving the shooting. The solid defender already. I got the Pelicans taking Akchoy Agbaji, national champion Kansas. 6'6 shooting guard. He's one of the few guys that's a senior already that's going to come in and play 4 years of college basketball, won a national championship this past year. He'll be a type of player that can come in and play day one. May not be a superstar in the league, but he'll be a kind of player that can come in and help the team right away. Benedict Mathurin, I got him going number nine to San Antonio. Another guy who's tremendous in the open floor, help elevate the Arizona program back to where it normally is this past season. And number 10, Jeremy Sochan, power forward from Baylor. We talked about Draymond Green. We talked about Dennis Rodman. Sochan is that kind of player from Baylor. You're talking about a guy who's tremendous energy. He's got the blonde hair like Dennis Rodman already. This guy is just a gnat on the court. He's aggressive on the boards, tremendous defender. Still needs some work on his offensive game, but he's a guy that I think is going to be a physical presence and a guy you want on your team. Like I said, he's not going to be the guy that's going to average 20, 25, 30 points a game, but he'll probably be a double-digit rebounder in the NBA and a tremendous defensive ball player. And like I said, watching him play, he will just aggravate your team the entire night. And I got him going at the number 10 spot. The Hawks are at number 16. They got him taking Dyson Daniels from Australia. Intriguing prospect. He may not be there at 16 when it's all said and done. He's another guy that's shooting up draft boards. He's 6'7". He's got a 6'11 wingspan. He can handle the ball. He can play defense. I think he's a little ahead of where Josh Giddey was this time last year. And Josh Giddey had a pretty solid rookie season from Oklahoma State. I mean, Oklahoma City, I'm sorry. So he's an intriguing prospect. He's shooting up draft boards. He may not be there by the time draft night comes available. In the second round, I got the Hawks taking Dalen Terry from Arizona. It's not Jason Terry's son. A lot of people thought he was since he played in Arizona, too. But no relation to
That's
Jason
funny.
Terry. He's 6'7". He's another guy, 6'7", who was really the de facto point guard for Arizona, even at 6'7". He's a guy with versatility. He's another guy that could possibly move into the early part of the first round, or the second round. But right now I got him going in the 46 spot to the Hawks. And then in the second round for Portland, I got him taking Trevor Keels, shooting guard from Duke. And Travion Williams is another guy that's going to come off the bench and really be a defensive rebounding presence. And for the Marpels, I got us taking a couple of foreigners in the second round. Ishmael Camagate from France, a 7-foot center. And Gabriel Procida, a tremendous shooter from Italy in the second round.
Good stuff, man. I was going to say, I love the fact that you've targeted guys for the Hawks, that, you know, there are a couple guys I think that if Dyson Daniels is not there, kind of like, Osman Dang here, the guys, you know, this sort of forward from France, because you like these guys that are kind of like, they were like 6'2", and then they kind of had this growth spurt because they were like used to being point guards and stuff like that. We like guys that need to be a secondary ball handler for Trey. We need guys that are defensive-minded, if you will, just kind of cover up a couple of those deficiencies, because we need that 6'7", 6'8", kind of player kind of pair with the Hawks, man, because, you know, we're realizing how important defense is, especially on the Eastern Conference side too, man. So anyone that can be a secondary ball handler, creator, that can get his own shot, that can take some pressure off the Trey, that's what we need. So any of those picks, I don't know if we're going to keep them because, you know, they're young. I don't know if they can add to the team, but, you know, Jalen Johnson is a talent, but still we need somebody that's used to kind of handling the rock, man. So I love those picks, if you will, man. So good stuff.
Yeah, Osman Dean, as you mentioned, is an intriguing prospect. I got him going number 18, just two picks later. So he'll be in that ballpark for the Hawks at 16, too. But another similar type player, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Especially
Rob, I've got a question for you. Of these teams, who do you see trading their pick away for, you know, a veteran player to bring in, a big gun player to bring in? Who do you see making a move like that, or do you see something like this happening in the first round of this draft with these picks?
You know, that could be really interesting. You look at a team like the Spurs that's got three first-round picks. You know, do you try to make a movement? Because they have a lot of young players on their team already. Do they try to make a move to try to get another veteran player to come in and help them, you know, bring a veteran presence to that team? You know, they were just outside of the playoffs this year. I think they finished number 10 in the Western Conference. So with three first-round picks, do they make a move? Oklahoma City is another one. They're a team that has three first-round picks. And they got a lot of second-round picks, too. And they're a team that's got a lot of good prospects already on their team. We talked about Josh Giddey already. You know, those teams have got these multiple picks. Memphis. I mean, they, you know, as good as they were, they want to get to another level. They have two first-round picks, even though they're the latter first-round picks. They have 22 and 29. Do they make a move for a veteran player that can come in and help them? I think it'd be in, you know, I look for those teams that's got multiple first round picks to possibly make a move. And especially those teams that want to, you know, make a step, you know, Memphis want to get back into competing with Golden State here for Western Conference championship. And you look at San Antonio and Oklahoma City already has a young roster. Do you try to add a veteran piece to their teams?
All right.
Nah,
thank you.
Anything else to add? Do you anything to add about that?
No.
You want to say? Go ahead.
No, I think everybody's looking at ceiling. I think this is a draft that's really not highly regarded outside the top five, maybe. So, yeah, we probably could see some moves like he's saying. Like, there could be a couple of teams who, like OKC, doesn't want to pay a whole bunch of young guys. And they got so many picks in that treasure trough. I could see them trading out of this one and setting up for next year and the year after and kind of, you know, leveraging all of those picks they have. So, yeah, I could see some moves being made on this day. But ultimately, you know, this is not a great draft. It's kind of top heavy. And we'll see because there's a lot of question marks. It's like, dude, Chet could be a Hall of Famer or Chet could be Andre Kirilenko. Like, it's really, really dicey with a few guys here. But at the same time, if you don't make that pick and Chet becomes Chet, hey, you're out of a job, buddy. That's going to be on your jacket. You didn't pick him because you were scared of what could possibly happen with failure. So, yeah, this is going to be a really good, interesting draft.
I think it's actually a fairly deep draft, though, believe it or not. I think this is one of the deeper drafts we've had in a while. I think you're going to still get some really good players here, possibly even it's going to fall into the second round in this draft. I think it's a deeper draft than what we think. I think the top three is definitely separates themselves from the rest, but I do think this is a fairly deep draft, actually.
Well, we'll see
when
the options come up to re-up. We'll see. When people's options aren't renewed, we'll know what the draft is.
I like Jaden Ivey.
They got some guys in the second round, like Leonard Miller from Canada. I think he could be a surprise.
Yeah.
Caleb Houston from Michigan in the second round could be a surprise ball player. Dalen Terry, who I just mentioned with the Hawks. Peyton Watson from UCLA. Jalen Williams from Arkansas. I mean, I really like him. Some of these guys, like Jalen Williams,
they're
gonna
make a nice
considering going back to school.
It's nice. You can go to Italy or Turkey and make nice money, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think Jalen Williams, some of these players, though, I think could get better by going back to school, though. Like Jalen Williams from Arkansas, I got him going in the second round. You know, he'll be a project for a year or two in the NBA. But if he goes back to Arkansas, which he hasn't signed with an agent yet, he still can, he'll be a first-round pick this year. I mean, he'll be a first-round easily. He's 6'10", 6'11", with long arms. He's a tremendous athlete. He worked on his offensive game a little bit more. He'll be a top 15 pick in next year's draft. He's got that kind of ability. But right now, he'll be a second-rounder. You know, he'll be a solid player for an NBA team to develop, but you may just have to sit him a year, you know, to get to that point. But, you know, he's the guy that can go next year he'll be a top 15 pick in the draft easily. He's got that kind of potential. So hopefully I hope he goes back, even though he's going to Arkansas, LSU's rival. But his sake, he'll be better off going back to school and becoming a top 15 pick, and he'll have a better payday.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, gentlemen. Again, we're not trying to – yeah, let Curtis wrap this up. Go ahead, Curtis.
Go ahead.
Not that big. No, up here is Seattle. My God. Another NBA team.
Yep. That'd be tremendous if Seattle can get another NBA team. That would be a good look for them, for sure, man.
Rumor has it.
Supersonics. Bring Supersonics back. Is that the rumor right there that we're hearing? Is that correct?
Strong rumor is that the NBA is considering
expanding here in the next couple of years and possibly bringing in a team in Seattle and Las Vegas. And the Seattle team would
be
the
coach,
Supersonics. And don't know what Las Vegas will be, but there is talks of that happening and moving the New Orleans Pelicans to the Eastern Conference and if that takes place. So, yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting, but there is talks of that happening with Seattle and Las Vegas.
There it is.
Gary Payton
should be the coach, like I said, man.
It was the beginner. Seattle play for the club. Yeah.
That would be good. It would be good for the I-5 rivalry.
Yeah.
There it is. Bring that back. Appreciate that. Good stuff. All right, Rob. Go ahead and Naj, man. Don't be a stranger, man. It's good to hear from you, man. Definitely call in. We always appreciate your humor and just bringing it back to Madden and all pro and all rookie, man. That took me back. I was like, man, we had Madden.
I want me to go buy the game
again.
Definitely, all of us retired Madden players. Yeah, hey. 100,
oh,
man. Hey, I always 2K. Love coming on with y'all, man. I always have fun with y'all. Good to hear y'all, too, man. Much respect.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, we're normally we flip-flop between Tuesdays and sometimes, but every now and then we get a chance to pop on Thursdays, man. So, you know, obviously JQ is out. He had to do some traveling for Memorial Day, and his dad's not feeling that great, so we're throwing up some prayers for his pops. So obviously he'll be back on next week. And just due to what's happening with the Memorial Day weekend. So shout out to all the veterans, all that fun stuff too. But, you know, again, just hopefully we'll catch you, man. Just it's good to hear from you, man. I was like, I thought that I recognized your number, man. So I'm glad you're able to call in. And it's good to, again, have the energy for sure. So thank you. Appreciate you, man. And hope the family is doing well and everything like that for sure.
Yep, same. Likewise, man. Hope everybody's family's good. Good to hear all y'all voices, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Thanks
bring
for
it back.
Me on.
Go ahead, Rob, in the show.
Yeah,
it's all good. Call us in. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude our show for tonight. As we mentioned earlier, next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look for you all to join us on next Thursday night, a week from tonight. Good night, people. Have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend.
I love all the people that listen to us.
Appreciate it. You guys be safe for the holiday weekend.
And Rob, keep some of those topics. You have some great topics about some you know, Star Wars football in Alabama, ironically. And we want to talk about – you can keep the top five QBs going into the season and a couple of those commits too, man. We didn't talk about, you know, Alonzo Highsmith. That's great. There's some great topics that we can just recycle for next week if you're okay with that too, just to kind of keep you
because
we know you came in from South Africa, man, so this morning. So hope you're feeling better. But keep those topics rolling for next week, man. There's a lot of great things we can discuss too, man. So I know we kind of went in a different direction tonight, but we appreciate you for sure, man. So good stuff.
Sounds good. Now I got to go and lose the weight I gained in the last week in South Africa.
This guy traveling. All right, gentlemen. All right, peace. Guys, have a great rest of your week, man. Be safe over the weekend. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. All right, peace, y'all.